Secrets from a Coach. Thrive and maximise your potential in the evolving workplace. Your weekly podcast with Debbie Green of Wishfish and Laura Thompson-Staveley of Phenomenal Training. Debs.
Law, how you doing?
Oh, very good, thank you. I'm excited about the start of our month focus on our topic. How's life for you?
Yeah, it's been good. I was face-to-face today, so listening to some of the challenges that people are facing at the moment, coming back into working and juggling hot desking and thinking about how they impact on others and the impact that has on them. So, yeah, a really good day, though. Really great conversations about all things well-being, resilience and looking after ourselves and our teams.
Ooh, well, nice tee up for our focus this month on the wonderful big topic of our times, resilience. Mm-hmm. So the resilience subject is definitely something that's kind of, we're being asked to get involved in quite a bit, isn't it? That
ability
to be able to be resilient in, and so we'll have a focus on sort of four areas of that. So the conversation we're going to be having in this episode is about what it means to be resilient and develop our levels of personal resilience. Next episode, we'll be focusing on the team. So how do you develop team resilience, whether you are a formal leader or not? What does it mean to have a resilient team? We'll then have a look at, well, how do we handle the obstacles and the challenges that can get in our way of being resilient? And then the final take will be on, well, what does that mean in terms of saying no to things, looking after our energy and therefore our capacity to be resilient? So it's a real big hot topic. I've been face to face with a team this week, a couple of teams this week as well, Debs. And what I think is really interesting at this stage in our decade of change, which is probably the kind of the, you know, the symbol for this decade, is you've kind of got two stories I'm seeing emerging at the moment, which is why resilience, I think, is such a good, handy topic to be focusing on now in the world of work, whatever your scenario. You've got some industries that had runaway success through the pandemic, and so they're now dealing with quite demoralizing like-for-like figures that they're now having to compete against. Probably in a time where also there's transformation programs to try and tidy things up to be able to scale and move forward. Or you've got industries with whom had a total battering through the pandemic and are now trying to scramble together as things have opened up. So it's kind of regardless of the different types of pandemic stories people have had, certainly the world of work right now is really requiring people to really level up.
Yeah,
their
definitely.
Levels of personal resilience.
Oh my God, completely, Laura. And, you know, we always talk about resilience is that ability to remain flexible in our thoughts, our feelings and behaviours when we're faced by a disruption or any extended period of pressure. And when you think what the last couple of years has, you know, given people, I think, you know, people have got through it and they have been resilient and have an inner strength at times. But without maybe looking after themselves as well, some people are really, really tired at the moment, you know, as they're ramping stuff back up or having to restructure or transform the way they're working with different processes and ways of working, you know, they're tired. People are like a little bit like, can I go again? You know, and it's feeling, how can we support them to go? Absolutely, you can. So that ability to remain flexible in the way that we think about it or the way that we approach it, is that ability with resilience to be able to emerge stronger, wiser and more able to deal with whatever may be around the corner. Because I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. And if we can look after ourselves, which we're focusing on ourselves around that, and recognise that, you know, we can have positive relationships that help with our resilience. We can make plans and take action and solve problems which help with our resilience. We can manage our emotions as well, I think, the difficult ones. And knowing that we can be in the moment, in the here and now, I think. And talking, the whole bit around great communication skills is going to really help us build our resilience even more.
I was doing some research today and we're putting together lots of new exciting material for various clients, aren't we? And we're getting asked quite a bit for creativity and innovation material at the moment. So it just sort of struck me in light of the conversation we were going to be having on this episode, actually how transferable this bit of information that I picked up today. Did you know, according to IBM, in the 20th century, the rate of the knowledge that the world had and captured doubled every 25 years. So the information available to the world doubled in the last century every 25 years. Now, in this 21st century, it doubles every 11 hours.
Oh, wow. So 25 years and 11 hours. That's mad, Law.
So the rate of information that is available to us is doubling every 11 hours.
Goodness me.
So for anyone out there who's feeling a little bit like, how do I keep up?
Yeah.
You know, how do I keep up not only in my own industry, but, you know, transfer knowledge from other industries? You're not alone. The ability to keep that resilience, just in light of the sheer amount of information that is bombarding us, it really is kind of ramping up. So much so that if someone is in their first year of a uni course now, 50% of it could actually be obsolete by the time they graduate in 3 or 4 years' time. Such is the pace of change of what we know, how it's stored, and how we're kind of putting all of that information together. So it really is quite a requirement, not only for day-to-day thriving, but also actually to think about how we're going to be able to handle it as it gets quicker and quicker moving on. Spending a little bit of time purposely focus on your resilience can really make a difference. Deb, in your experience as a coach, what are some of the benefits you see from people taking time out to think about their resilience and how to level it up?
Oh, first of all, they've got to notice that they need to do that. So, but when people do, and you see it happening more, actually, more and more people are becoming aware that they have to look after themselves to be able to look after others. But the benefits to them is that better, healthy living, they're conscious of what they are putting in, you know, nutrition-wise, energy-wise, they have more capacity to make decisions anyway because they've given their brain a rest. They're balancing or creating harmony around that life-work balance again because they recognise how important it is. They can't keep changing every, you know, as you're saying, 11 days and that by the start of day one on a project or, you know, year one, by the time that year four comes, it's changed anyway. So to keep that level of on-ness is really difficult. So they're consciously now thinking about, okay, we all have 24 hours in a day. So how do I take, if you like, take control of my time and use it wisely? And what I find people are starting to do is being more realistic with the expectations around the goals that they're setting. So they're not unachievable. They're achievable with a stretch, but they are making sure that it fits with the rest of their lives. So it's not just all about work. And that's a big shift, actually, because all what comes then is the fear that maybe I'm not doing enough or I'm not present enough because obviously we've still got hybrid working. So therefore, how do I prove myself? So it comes back to how they stop that inner voice taking over in a negative way, but look at it through the lens of optimism. And resilient people, in my experience, have a level of optimism to think, I can overcome this with some support and help and relationships around me where I know I can do that, but I know I can. So, and I think the optimism is, if you like, the unlockable piece of information that we need to tap into the optimistic side of our thinking rather than the doom and gloom side of it.
And of course, in light of the world's information doubling every 11 hours, a load of that is the news, you know, so the news sort of coming our way. So it's pretty tough, you know, for even the most naturally optimistic of us to keep optimistic if you're continually filling your head with all of the information that's kind of out there, because not all of it is an easy read and is going to kind of cheer you along in your own sort of day-to-day journey that you've got.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that becomes making a choice, really, that says, is this helping me or is this hindering me? Is this good for me to keep that loop of, as Lindsay always calls it, our colleague, doom scrolling? So, you know, if I start looking at it and start exploring it, I'll look for more and I'll look for more and go, oh my God, the world is going mad and oh, woe is me. And it's that bit that says, actually, you don't have to sit and swim in it, as I always call it. You have a choice. Like, you can switch the television off. You don't have to listen to all of the bad news that's going. It's like, why? I would ask yourself, why are you doing that? Why are you filling yourself up with the bad news stories when there are actually some really good news stories? So if we can think that we're, I suppose, you know, sometimes we're only given the information that people want us to know. So being curious about, well, is that really true? Or is there another side to that? So to be able to think differently and look for different things that either reinforce it or blow that out of the water as, well, that was a load of fake news. So, but it's that ability to want to learn. And I think, you know, when we're going, resilient people are always learning. They're always looking for those opportunities. They're always really clear on what they want to be aware of. They're not just going with one thing. They're looking at all the different options and they explore it with other people that may know better than them. So it's again, who do you surround yourself with? You know, are you surrounding yourself with doomsday scrollers? So therefore you're sucked into it. Or are you surrounding yourself with maybe a few of them, but also a few people that are really good for you, that nurture you and want you to be the best and lift you up? You know, so thinking about the network that you've got, I think is really important as well. Who do you surround yourself with?
Yeah. And how genuine are those sort of connections?
Yeah,
as well.
That's true. Yeah.
I think what's empowering is, you know, and I know you'll wholeheartedly concur with this, you can start at any point in your life to focus on developing your resilience. You know,
absolutely.
It doesn't mean that if you've got a number of years behind you that, you know, that's it. That's just the person you are forever. You know, at any point you can kind of start and, you know, in times of rapid, unprecedented change, perfect time to put in some new precedents. So actually there's some new precedents that you might want to set. And, you know, we're fortunate to work with some amazing clients with whom the people or the HR team have decided to create events that enable their people to focus on resilience. And I was just thinking it might be worthwhile just taking some of the key takeaways from some recent stuff that we've done for a large organisation around
resilience. Yeah, that was really powerful for them, wasn't it, as well, to think about that and, you know, the work that you did with them around it. And I know you came up with some brilliant tips, if you like, that would help. And I think, yeah, to put that out there and share it, Laura, I think is brilliant.
Yeah. And
so what were they?
Well, guess what? It began with the three R's of resilience. So the idea of the power of reflect, reframe, and recharge. So I know you're an absolute lover of reflection, but the three R's of resilience. So first of all, taking that moment to pause, where am I at? And if there was a roller coaster that was kind of a metaphor I was going to use, am I hanging upside down? Am I on a high? Am I on a low? So first of all, sort of where am I? If I take a moment to reflect, and it's incredibly bonding. I know we're talking about personal resilience on this one, but sharing that kind of reflection piece in a buddy safe environment can be, you know, is like rocket fuel for your team bonding, because it, you know, it's connected us, it connects us all, this stuff. So taking time to reflect and having a think about the four pillars, as we called it. So the American Psychological Association says that there are four pillars, that when you invest in these four pillars, you are investing in your resilience muscle. You are likely to be able to handle onward challenge with more ability to adapt, as you said. And the four pillars are a sense of purpose. So in the words of Katy Perry in her song Raw, if you stand for anything, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. If you're clear on who am I and what do I stand for, it's easier to stop the doom scrolling, you know, block out the fake news, because you know who you are, where you're going and what you stand for. So that's the first thing, is have a sense of purpose. The second thing is your physical wellness. So looking after the physical home in which your soul is. So, you know, exercise, drinking water, whatever those things that we know are good for us, but it's easy to forget. The third pillar is connection with others. So that networking piece you were talking about. And then the fourth one then, which we've, you know, got so many practical tools that help bring this to life, healthy thinking patterns. So those four pillars, according to the American Psychological Association, tend to help us increase our level of resilience now. And as a work in progress, as you always say, four things to then help just shore us up against what might be ahead. Because as you mentioned at the start of our conversation, we're only a couple of years into this decade.
Yes, exactly.
I think we've got a lot more ahead. And if we were to reframe this first couple of years as a training course, What already has that give you as an early indicator of what might be ahead, and possibly taking that mindful decision to, I think I need to look after myself and purposely build my resilience muscle, might be a really good place to start. So even just those four pillars can enable you to bite off what is a massive topic into some practical actions.
And I also think, Laura, with those is that you're in control of that. You know, you as an individual, you know, if you're waiting for somebody to do it for you, so if you're waiting for somebody to shift you to a more healthy thinking pattern, you could be waiting a very long time, you know. So we look inward as well to go, well, do I want to be a pessimist or an optimist? Do I really want to have healthy thinking? Well, yeah, why would you not? So I know we always ask that question, but recognizing the emotions as well. No one is going to do this for you. So how do people start to take responsibility for themselves more? So, because if they're waiting for somebody to fix it for them, or make it right for them, or create the perfect environment where they can thrive, they're going to wait a very long time. So it's how do we take ownership for ourselves? What do we want? You know, what is our goal? What do we want to achieve? Are we really clear on that? And in my experience, resilient people do know where they want to head, and they, again, surround themselves with the people that they know are going to help them. I know there's that saying, isn't it, that no man is an island. So how do we surround ourselves, as you said, with the people that lift us up? But the self-esteem bit is, again, core to us. You know, what do I really love about myself? How can I use that? Because I know that's going to help me overcome whatever challenges may come my way. And that's what happens. Life is full of challenge and change. That's, as you always say, Laura, you know, time and change are the only constants in this world. So to know that, you know, we're going to always have to deal with change and accept that change is part of living. And therefore, we need to think about how we can cope effectively with that change. Now, some change is massive, some is small, but it's still a change for that individual. So the ability to have some flexibility around your thinking, knowing I'm looking after myself well, as you said, the physical side of it, and you're not just you, but your environment that you're in too. I think also the connection is the key one. You know, if you haven't got a network around your connection with others, because that's what's been missing a lot of the time, you know, since we're in the pandemic, is the connection with people. Make sure you find it, whether that's, I'm going to go and join a local group that's just opened down the road from me. You know, connect with like-minded people, because it really does lift your spirits and enables your thinking to be healthy, as you said. You know, it takes the barriers off, if you like, and you can go, oh, there is a world out here that I'm not sure of yet, but I'm going to give it a go and find out.
I mean, you know, I love a bit of a process, and I think it's always so illuminating to borrow best practice from other industries that might be completely different from your day-to-day experience and kind of transfer it across to our world. Because that ability to transfer knowledge from one world to another is beyond an algorithm at
yes,
the moment.
That's true.
We are so brilliant, us humans, at extrapolating facts, making something out of nothing. Yeah. So we might as well use that information, you know,
for
good purposes as well. Yeah. And whenever we've worked with emergency services teams or kind of teams that are involved in real kind of crisis, critical incidents, it's really interesting looking at how those teams kind of, I know we're talking about team resilience formally in the next conversation, but just even knowing that planning in recharge and recovery time. So let's say that someone has really had to dial up loads of adrenaline dealing with some kind of real critical incident. It would be an expected part that would then be a calm time after. There would be time to recover and recharge to then be ready for the next one. So those people who have jobs that are dealing with other people's worst nightmares, you know, first on scene responder types of roles, one of the things that really helps maintain their resilience is planned in recovery and recharge times. And that's easy if you've got a uniform you take on and off, or easier if you have a uniform you take on and off. But what happens if you've got a role or a lifestyle where there's no uniform that is the boundary of being on or off? You're going to have to do that mental gymnastics inside, and just seeing it as a series of get ready, respond, recover, to then recharge, to then be ready again, to respond, recover, recharge. And it, for anyone here who's listening, who's got a pretty big couple of months ahead. As part, as well as that designing and planning, what am I going to do and when do I need to do it by? Also having some backup questions. And what does that mean for me in terms of my energy levels? And when am I going to plan in some times to restore so I can continue the marathon of change, not just the sprint of this particular next couple of months?
Yeah, that's
because,
so important.
You know, running yourself ragged now to then be knocked sideways with some really bad cold, you know, in a couple of months' time, you almost end up at the same place, don't you?
Exactly.
I'm speaking from personal experience.
Yeah, because yeah, you just kept on going and not stopped. And we were talking about, you know, that with, I was coaching somebody yesterday who's had a, you know, a life-changing experience, which was sort of known, knew they it was coming, but didn't. And so the fact that they still had their coaching session with me because it was planned. So when I reached out and said, look, I'm, you know, sorry to hear what's happened. I know we've got a coaching session booked in. I just wanted to check in with you that you were okay to still do that. And their response was, oh my God, completely, because I want to be able to talk through what I'm thinking so I can reframe it. So I can just reset my boundaries. I can just talk about it openly with somebody that, like myself, that didn't know what was going on really. I was aware of it, but not in it. And the difference that made for them. So I think that ability for people to recognize their own emotions, know what they want to do with them. Because, you know, this person wanted to keep moving forward, keep wanting to focus on something that was important to them. And, you know, when I look at that individual, I think, wow, that is resilience right there. Something horrendous has happened, not expected, but they are still mindful to think, no, what's important for me right now? I will continue to have my coaching with Debs because that's important for me. So that was the decision they made. So, and I just went, hats off to you, you know, the resilience to work your way through it, understand it, understand and accept it. It is their stuff, knowing their ability to deal with it, their strengths and weaknesses in that situation. And just being able to talk about it made a huge difference. So they said on the at the end of the call, you know, actually, that's I feel so much better because I now have a plan. I now know with some level of certainty what the next day is going to look like and the day after that. And that was enough for them to go, I'm wiser, I'm more able to deal with what's going on. And I think that's the power of coaching as well, where you can have that free conversation that enables you to do explore that. So you find meaning in the difficulties that you're being faced with. And you look at, well, what is the opportunity here for me to ensure that I am able to be resilient through this and have a level of strength to be able to deal with it and still recognize the emotion. So I'm not blocking it off. I'm just going with it. I'm just enabling that to happen.
I think that's what an empowering story about the impact that time can then have. And that probably was just a 55-minute meeting,
yep,
wasn't
that
it?
Was
a 55-minute coaching session that actually has just enabled to catch it in that moment and, you know, be able to kind of process. And just as I was listening to you talking, it was just remindful of a conversation I had years ago when we first started working in the wonderful world of big mass transport industries, you know.
Yep.
It's a fascinating world, isn't it, going
it
behind
is.
The scenes. And I remember asking someone that was in charge of business resilience, what does resilience mean to you?
Mm.
And it's really interesting getting a take on, because there's lots of people that have business resilience, operational resilience, system resilience as part of their role. And just looking at, well, actually in the machine world or in the kind of technical world, resilience tends to mean a consistent level of service. So you might have had some big weather event that has happened, but business resilience is where the trains keep running, the planes keep flying, there's all of these plan Bs and backups and contingency plans that enable service resilience to remain unchanged. So resilience isn't kind of almost where it's not change. So resilient isn't just pretending everything's all right when it's not. But in our kind of human world, where we might not be machines on wheels or, you know, planes going up in the sky, the resilience is, how do I still have a great life experience, the service experience, even though I might be dealing with lots of change? What might be needed is backup plans, contingency, reframing things, work behind the scenes to enable that overall sense of my life has meaning and I enjoy, you know, I enjoy what I'm doing and where I'm heading, in light of the fact that sometimes you can get some weather events in your life that might kind of get in your way. But I think that link between there's a whole industry out there built on resilience from a technical point of view, which tends to mean, you know, service doesn't get disrupted, things stay the same, but actually they don't stay the same. There's a lot of work behind the scenes to enable the service experience to stay the same. I mean, it's almost transferring that back to our day-to-day existence of, I might need to do some rethinking, some contingency planning to ensure that my overall experience of life is on the whole optimistic and positive.
Yeah, I think that's so spot on, Law, because, we can't change the fact that we feel stressful or upset or whatever about the events that might happen to us. But what we can do to be even more resilient is to change our response to that. So again, that having a look at it from an optimistic lens, what could be the possibility here? I think that's what enables people to be more resilient. They, as I say, it's how they choose to respond to whatever life throws at them, and enable to, I suppose, centre themselves in a way, or re-centre themselves to, who am I? Going back to your purpose, who am I really? Has this impacted on me? Absolutely. But who am I now? So bringing it back to the moment, the here and now and the present, can be so empowering for people to continue to build their resilience around that, because they're only dealing with what's in front of them, not what might be a day, 3 days, 7 days along the line, which we have no certainty over. So that ability to center, as we call it, in the here and now, where we can just focus on staying grounded, remaining as calm as we can be, looking at it through that healthy thinking patterns to go, what can I do now? What's the action I can take to keep moving me forward from here? And I suppose that would be my call to action for anybody that feels like things are becoming too much for them, is to ground yourself, just take a moment. And the most powerful thing we can do to center ourselves is to breathe, is to focus on our breath. And I know we say it time and time again, but that ability to really focus in on breathing really deeply and really slowly absolutely enables you to see things clear. It's like, if I can breathe deeper, the fog will lift, because I'm actually freeing up my space. And that might be 5 minutes, it might be half an hour, but the regular pattern of doing that, and therefore I can center myself and ground myself in the moment. So I therefore know, or are more likely to make the right decision, because I can.
My kind of final sort of thought on this subject is, you've said the word optimism quite a bit. And, there's sort of thoughts out there about, is it better to have a pessimistic, optimistic? Is it realistic? They're sort of in the middle. And whatever your sort of thoughts are, it sure makes a difference. And what would be my evidence to suggest that? There is a whole wealth of medical research out there showing the powerful benefits of a placebo. If you believe that that sugar pill that you're taking is going to help you, it will help you. Your body will create a response to it as if you are having something that is helping you. And on the converse, you then have the nocebo, which is, if I believe this is going to harm me, then it will create a reaction that then harms me. So there's some fascinating research out there about the placebo effect and the nocebo effect. To the extent, the famous one I remember kind of, reading about years ago, is a priest went to give last rites to someone at a hospital bed and gave it to the wrong person.
Oh, gosh.
And they were the ones that then passed away in the night.
Oh, wow.
Whereas the person that they were supposed to go and give the last rites to kind of made it through. I mean, it's a real dramatic example of, when we think something is out and it's going to harm us, then it's going to create that kind of response. If we have an optimistic mindset about the future, it's the equivalent of taking a placebo. You know, whether it technically has the chemical reality that's going to help you or not, if you believe it will create a response so strong that we manifest that to then happen. So I think for anyone that's listening going, oh yeah, well, optimism, actually I prefer to think of the worst and then you're prepared. Well, yeah. It's going to have a powerful impact. So just check the impact that you want.
Because
even from a very basic medical point of view, once you've taken a tablet, the headache clears sometimes and it wouldn't have even had time to kick in. So there's real kind of fascinating stuff out there, isn't it, in terms of resilience, about the impact our thought patterns have on our physical health.
Yeah. And if we want to emerge that, stronger, wiser and more able, then it is the investment back in ourselves, learning maybe from our mistakes, setting our realistic goals, that we know are within our reach, thinking about, how can I solve this problem? and maybe surrounding myself with people that can help me do that, I think. And understanding and accepting that I am who I am right now. It doesn't mean I'm going to be like that forever. And the more we can ground ourselves into who we are, the better it will be for us. And the more resilient, you know, we are as we face whatever may be coming our way, we can choose to see it from a different lens and go, I can do that.
Oh, but Div, don't change too much. I love you how you are.
I'm not changing that much, Law. I might tweak it a bit. We're learning.
Yeah.
Life's a journey of learning, right? So.
Yeah. God, at some point, will the lessons just please stop?
I don't know if they ever will, Law. We choose to not maybe learn from them, but hey, they're still there for us. Yeah.
That's why we might as well cheer ourselves up about it, haven't we? Because that is one of the things you can guarantee. It's probably going to all change again next year, isn't it?
It probably will, yes. Even, by Christmas, maybe. Oh, there's the Christmas word. Yoo-hoo!
Yeah. So in the meantime, rather than worrying about it, let's invest in our resilience. So we are prepared and ready and, you know, feeling able and all that lovely stuff. So your call to action then. So first off, breathing.
Breathe.
What would be another call to action? Because it's, you know, converting wishful thinking to tangible action. That's what we're all about here on Secrets of a Coach. So what would be your final call to action?
I think acknowledge how you are feeling about whatever's going on and then take positive actions to manage those feelings and put a plan in place that's going to help you move forward.
My share of the secret would be think of someone on your radar, in your network, who you think is just feeling a little bit blah at the moment and is maybe feeling a little bit kind of like they've lost their mojo. Get them to listen to this. Sometimes hearing that actually you are not alone. Resilience is the big hot topic of its time at the moment. So taking a bit of time, as you said, to do those things that we've sort of talked about is a sign of strength. And so my share the secret would be pass this on to someone, get them to have a listen, have a chat after. What a great quality conversation to have.
Yeah.
Where we're thinking about how we can boost our levels of personal resilience.
Yes.
Next week, all about the team.
Yes.
So what does this mean if you're part of a team or formally managing a team? What does that mean from a team resilience point of view? Then we'll bounce on talking about what happens on the darker, tougher days. What does that mean to deal with obstacles? And then we'll end on thinking about what does that mean in terms of purposely planning to look after our energy levels. So
absolutely.
Can't wait for that. In the meantime, Debs, so what's in store for you next week? What resilience is going to be required for next week, do you think?
Oh, gosh. Planning, I think, when I look at what I've got on next week, listening to what's going on for other people and just embracing learning opportunity. I'm doing a learning event next week and I'm learning about a new industry. So looking forward to that. So ears open, mind open to explore.
Fantastic. Well, actually, next week is Mental Health Awareness Week, I think, isn't it?
So I know
we've got quite
a
lot of things that we're doing involved in that. So nice link then, topic of the month, resilience. There's such a clear link between mental health and wellness and resilience as the capacity to be able to look after ourselves with that.
Absolutely.
So have a marvellous week, Debs.
You too, Law.
Love you, darling.
Bye. Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at secretsfromacoach@aol.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you're a Spotify listener, give us a rating as it makes it easier for us to share the secret with others.